Galatians chapter 5. We've been making our way through this wonderful book that Paul wrote to a church that was dear to him. He wrote to them because there were problems. And in our Christian life, we have to accept the fact that we can get started and we can be following Jesus, but we can get tripped up. We can believe the wrong thing, or we can begin to do the wrong thing. And so really this book is an act of mercy. And God is trying to help this group of churches in that region of Galatia to come back to the truth of the gospel. And so the Judaizers said, no, you need to go back under the law of Moses, the Old Testament law, in order to be made right with God. And so in many, many different ways in this book, God says you're only made right through faith in Jesus Christ. All right? And it is a message that is so vital for today. There are entire pockets of Christian religion that they just don't believe that today. And you're only made right with God when you have a connection to that church. Or you jump through certain hoops that they've made. All right? We're made right with God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're made the righteousness of God. And so we're free. But in Galatians 5, we're beginning to discover, how do we live free? How do we live as children of God? We're no longer slaves. We're no longer under this bondage. But what does that look like? And so last week we saw this wonderful, wonderful kind of summary text in Galatians 5:13. It says, you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So it is possible to be a Christian, to be a believer, to be born again, but then to misuse your freedom. Because how many of you know that's not why God gave you freedom? He didn't give you freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. But don't do that. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. All right? You can't serve if you're shackled. But now that we're unshackled, we can love and serve and bless people. Verse 14, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Paul put it in Romans in this way, love does no harm to a neighbor. So now that I'm free, I'm no longer thinking about the decisions of my life as what's in it for me, but I put my decisions through the filter of, does this help you? Does this bless you? Does this help my family? Does this help my church? Amen. All right. And so it's an entire different way of living. All right. Now, so this free life, this life of love. So now in the rest of Galatians 5, Paul begins to get very specific about what this life looks like. And also, how do you achieve this life? What's the strategy to walk that way? All right, Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. All right? So look at verse 16. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let Him. All right. So that means we have a part to play. One of the things that we discover about the Holy Spirit is that He is not an intruder. Okay. He is not someone who forces. All right. Now, I know sometimes that's hard for Pentecostals to accept. All right. Because, you know, maybe sometimes in a service, maybe somebody's getting excited or whatever, and then, whatever. And that's, I'm not saying that's always wrong, but sometimes you just say, sir, it's not always ma'am. Sorry, sir, we're preaching right now. You know, we're preaching right now. Oh, I can't stop. The Holy Spirit is making me. I don't think he's making you do that, because he certainly is not making you tithe. You have successfully resisted his leading for years. Amen. All right. So the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit gives grace. All right. But there's a word that's in the New Testament of our response to the Holy Spirit, and that is we yield. We yield. Paul put it this way. Yield your members. Yield your body. Okay. So God does not control our body. All right. We yield our body to the Holy Spirit. All right. And then that engine, the power of God, begins to enable us. Do you see the difference? Okay. All right. So we let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. All right. And then here's the result. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. All right. So if a Christian sins, all right, and if you've ever been a Christian who has sinned, in that moment, the Holy Spirit was not leading you. The Holy Spirit was not guiding you. All right. In that moment, you were not yielding to him. Otherwise, it makes it real, real clear. If you were, that wouldn't have happened. Okay? And we're going to talk later today about the excuses that Christians use to justify their wrong behavior. All right? Now, please, I want everybody in this. Don't get nervous today. Please don't get nervous today. All right? My wife and I have been your pastor for over 13 years, and we love you, and we want to see your life go forward in God. And one of the most destructive things is when you make wrong decisions, okay? And it takes you down the wrong path, all right? And it hurts your life, it hurts your family, okay? And so I did not prepare this message with any person in mind, okay? If I needed to talk to you, we would have talked by now. All right, that is a fact. Okay, that's how we do stuff at Miracle Life. All right, so this is for everybody. All right, so if you feel like today, who told him? No one told him. All right, I'm not picking on anyone. Amen? All right. So, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't fulfill what the sinful nature wants to do. All right, verse 17, because it wants to do evil. Wants to do the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Okay? So this lifestyle that the Holy Spirit empowers and leads us away from sinful activity. Okay? So the problem is that there's this inward battle. Okay? Now, when the Word of God talks about the sinful nature, all right, we need to understand that when God created us, all right, and throughout the New Testament, we see that we are a three-part being. We are spirit, soul, and body, all right? And so when the Bible says when you come to know Jesus, you're a new creature, all things are new, all right? But when you got born again, your hair was still bald, all right? And you were still overweight, or your ears were too big, or whatever, right? Well, what do you mean all things? No, when you're born again, and Jesus made it clear in John 3, what gets born again is our spirit, all right? That which is born from above. So our spirit is born again, all right? Our mind, okay, does not receive an instant download from heaven, okay? You know, kind of like sometimes our phones say, would you like to update now? And all you have to say is, yes. Wouldn't that be awesome if that was what Christianity was? God says, hey, do you want a New Testament download? And while you're going to sleep, yes. And now you got 5.2. Oh, man, it's just awesome. And I love my wife and I serve and give. No. Romans 12 says, how are we transformed? By the renewing. The renewing of our mind. Okay, so we are saved in our spirits. We are being saved in our souls. Okay, our mind, our will, our emotions. That is an onward going process. It's called maturing. It's called sanctification. And the Holy Spirit is involved with that also. Okay, but there may be a part of our mind, okay, that still thinks sinfully. Okay, it's still thinking the old way, all right? Or even as a Christian, since we've been a Christian, we start allowing the world system to tell us what is right and wrong or what is normal, all right? And so that part of our mind that is unrenewed, that's not in line with God's word, it sides many times with our bodies because our bodies are not born again. Okay, the Bible says we will receive a new body one day. Oh, that's going to be awesome, isn't it? Okay, and our new body will not be subject to death and decay and wrinkles. And that's really not the worst of our problems. All right? Wrinkles are fine. It's that our body is so selfish. Okay, what happens when your body wants to go to sleep? It just starts screaming at you, doesn't it? Right? When it's hungry, all right? When that unrenewed mind and that part of your soul that's all stirred up emotionally and say, let's go get that guy. You see what he did to you? Yeah, I see what he did to you, right? And so that part of us, see, it's not our spirit and the Holy Spirit communicating with our spirit that ever leads us the wrong way, all right? But we have this part of us, okay? But what Paul is telling us is that this battle is winnable. You can hold the cup. The confetti can come down. You can win in the life of this battle against sin and the flesh. All right? So, the Holy Spirit is giving us desires. The question is, are you hearing those desires? Are you listening to those desires? Are you acting upon those desires, okay? Because they are opposite of other desires that are in you. Please note that in Galatians 5, there is no mention of the devil. There is no mention of demons. There is no mention of generational curses, blood ties, family ties, curses, all right? Because there is such a lie in the body of Christ, all right? So you're having marriage problems, all right? Take a number, join the queue, all right? I mean, God bless this couple that stood up, you know, but I know Pastor Williams says this, is they're ready. Ready, yeah. Ready for the first week, you know. Yeah, and then you get back from Siavonga. Yeah. And then the real stuff begins, right? Okay, but here's what people say. You know, I got this issue with my marriage. Oh, I got this issue. And people say this. I believe it's spiritual in nature. It's spiritual in nature. That means it's not my fault. It's a demon. It's not my fault. There's a blood tie. We've got a clip, curse, break. No, no, no. That is not the strategy that the Holy Spirit gave the New Testament church. It is a myth. It is a fable. Because here's the thing. Some of you think, oh, it's spiritual. All right, well, go break it. Your marriage is still messed up. If you could break it, you would have broken it. It's your sinful nature. It's your selfishness. It's your flesh. It's that part of you that doesn't want to be crucified with Christ. Amen. Oh, please, I wish that doctrine were true. I wish it were true. Because all the marriages that are trouble, we could just get olive oil and just grease up your head today and break it. And we wouldn't ever, ever have a problem again. It is not spiritual in nature. Here's what is the Holy Spirit, the solution is spiritual in nature. Okay, the solution is the Holy Spirit is telling you, go get your wife coffee. Give her all of your gratuity. Be like Brother Sun Tzu. Okay. Hey? See, the Holy Spirit, He keeps telling you. And we don't act on those things. We don't act on those things. All right? So the battle is on the inside. But it's winnable. It's winnable. It's winnable. All right? If you yield yourself to the Spirit, the Bible says you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? So I want you to stop saying this. I want you to stop thinking this. I want you to out loud rebuke people who say this to you. All right? And that is, when we're talking about Christians sinning, they say this. Well, we're human. We're only human. No. The world is only human. People that do not have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them, they are only human. You are blood bought. You are sanctified. You are holy. The greater one lives in you. You are not only human. You are partially supernatural. The power of God lives on the inside of you. Don't ever say, I'm only human. That is a lie. That is a lie. Don't ever let anyone tell you. And if a Christian says it, just rebuke them. Don't say that. That's like a cuss word. Don't say that. Because here's the thing. When we say, we're only human, that means there is no expectation of holiness. No expectation. Well, you know, I did it again. I'm only human. Right? Or the other thing. Well, everyone makes mistakes. Not everyone. Well, all pastors, you know, they get divorced. Not everyone. Huh? Oh, those pastors, they steal money. Not everyone. Amen. Not everyone. Not everyone. All right. Some of this thinking that comes to Christians comes from some circles of Christianity that believe that you're never born again. You're never born again. You are never, they do not believe in the doctrine of regeneration. Okay. And that you are only born again to the point of your last communion. All right. The last time you received a sacrament. Okay. And that's where you get cleansed. I grew up in a church where every Sunday we said the Lord's Prayer out loud. Not necessarily wrong, but I got a really bad impression because every time we said the Lord's Prayer, every Sunday we would say, forgive us our sins. We were a little more formal. We said, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who've debted against us. I forgot it now. All right. But this is my little 8-year-old brain thought this. All week we sin, and now forgive us our sins. Go back to sinning, and on Sunday, forgive us our sins. Okay? And that is the mentality that Christians have sometimes. All right? And if some of you grew up in a religious system like that, man, you need to get your mind renewed. You're born again. You know, I love it how some other Christians say, oh, you know, those born agains, those born again types. Well, friend, there is no other type of Christian other than the born again types. Okay. Look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2. So John wrote about love. in this epistle, he wrote about God loving us and us loving each other, talked about our lifestyle. And so there was, he told his mission statement of why he wrote this epistle. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So that you may not sin. So when we are allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to influence our life, we don't have to sin. It is not inevitable. And then the very next phrase proves it. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that good news? Oh, that's such good news. But notice it says, if anyone sins. Not when you sin. So, if you come over to my house today, we might have some chicken. All right? Well, the problem is that little if, isn't it? It's not guaranteed. I can back out of it at any moment. Okay? So if we sin, all right? Don't have to sin. Tell your neighbor I don't have to. All right. And I'm saying this today because I want you as a believer to have higher expectations of yourself. Not of your pastor, not of your spouse, okay, of yourself. Aim higher. It is possible. There is power made available to you. All right, now, verse 19. Now the Holy Spirit, okay, through Paul, begins to clarify what does the sinful nature look like when it has control. What does it begin to do? Now, please understand this is for speaking to Christians. All right. So let's read the list. All right. And he's not able to get it done in one verse. All right. It takes quite a few verses here. When you follow desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Everybody say the results. The results. All right. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. All right, so he makes it very clear that this is not an exhaustive list.
Well, it's not on the list.
No, it's in other lists. All right. There are other places in the New Testament where it goes into even more detail than this. Okay. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Now, I was thinking about this and I thought this was kind of curious because Paul already gave us the strategy. Right. He already gave us the answer. In a sense, even before he gave us the problem. All right. And that is, let the Holy Spirit dominate your life. Let him control your life. And guess what? You won't be sinning. All right. So then why does he have to list them? Why does he have to make them clear? All right. Is because I think a couple reasons. Sometimes people who have come to Jesus and they've lived in the world. And if you've lived in the world and you didn't know Jesus, you did a few of these, right? You definitely did a few of those because a sinner sins, all right? So when you come into Christianity and what you discover about the world and the culture of the world is they do not believe that sinning is wrong. They celebrate it. They make movies about it. They make songs about it. Right? Those are the lyrics to the most popular songs of the world in the last 30 years is, here is how I like to sin. That is what it is. All right? And so you get around a lot of deceived people, and we all just do these things, and everyone's okay. All right? So you can have that mentality. You come over to the church and think, Jesus loves me, I'm going to heaven, yay. But I'm still thinking, oh, it's all good. It's all fine. All right? So sometimes people, as they come into Christianity, and if you've just begun your Christian journey, and some of you have, this list is very helpful. All right? These are things that are not okay with God. They don't come from a place of love. They don't come from the Holy Spirit. They harm your life, and sin always harms more than you. It hurts other people. All right? And so the reason why God doesn't want us involved in these things is because it hurts us. All right? It hinders His plan in our life. Okay? All right, so this is not the lifestyle of a believer. It keeps you from participating in the kingdom of God. All right? It's not the lifestyle that we're called to. All right? So it is important that we allow God to define wrong. We have to let God define wrong. Because, I realize I'm only 49 years old. Okay, but I've been walking with God for over 30 years. And in my experience of being a Christian, I've never seen a time worse than 2017 where Christians, I'm not talking about the world, Christians are redefining what's right and wrong. We are literally making up our own rules based on what we want. Or based on what will not offend the world. Okay? And it is happening in evangelical circles more and more and more. To the point where it's not even surprising me anymore. But it's so sad. All right? So, we cannot change God's standards. We cannot change what He says is good and what's not good. All right. Now, why do we do this? Why do Christians change the standards? All right. Because we want to do them. We want to do them and feel okay about doing them. All right. I told you about, you know, years and years ago, Pastor, my friend, he's a Christian, he's a believer, but he's living with his girlfriend. All right. And they're not just roommates. Right? They're cohabitating. They're having sex. And I told my brother, I told my friend, you know, what are you doing? You're a believer. You love Jesus. Oh, no. I'm under grace. So he made up something to somehow justify what he wanted to do. And so then we feel like God's okay. All right. So you cannot change what God says. You can't. We believe in the infallibility of Scripture. All right? And that's really what's under siege these days more than ever. All right? So you can't justify. You can't make excuses. All right? But let's look at this list. All right? And I just want to bring out a few of them. All right? So people will make excuses. All right? And please understand, whatever you are excusing, you are not dealing with. Okay, because Paul talks about how do we deal this? Man, we take it, we crucify it. We realize I'm dead to sin. Jesus put that to death. All right, I see that sin as defeated. I learn to yield to the Holy Ghost in that area of my life. All right, I'm on purpose working with God. All right, but if you excuse it, you've just given up. All right, you've just laid down and you're going to let it roll over you. Okay, so what you excuse, you're not dealing with. There are a couple guys in the Bible, remember, that made huge excuses for their sin when God confronted them. Adam, did you eat? Before I say yes, it's the woman you gave me. All right, so the woman, and actually, thanks a lot, God, you're the one who brought her to me. Blaming the woman, blaming God. Saul, The prophet comes. Have you obeyed the Lord? Oh, yeah. Fully obeyed the Lord. Supposed to kill the Amalekites. All the men, all the women, all the children, all the animals. God wanted to wipe them out. Finish the sin forever. And the prophet says, what is the sound of animals in my ear? Oh, those animals. Those animals. Well, you see, the people, you know, they wanted to keep them and give them to the Lord. So spiritualized the problem, right? Spiritualized it and then blamed it on the people. And it's like, excuse me, Saul, who's wearing the crown around here? And you're blaming it on the people. All right. So that didn't work out too well for either Adam nor Saul. Okay, so again, this is a big issue with Christians who sin. They come up with reasons that justify their actions in their mind. All right, let's look at some excuses. Excuses for fornication. The Bible says sexual immorality. All right, and there are kind of two paths of sexual immorality. Sex before marriage with anyone. Doesn't matter if it's your fiancé. That's fornication. Oh, but we're going to get married. You're not married. I've paid Lobola. You're not married. Yeah. You're getting ready to be married. Okay. Or there is sex when you are married with someone other than your spouse. That's called adultery. Right? Okay. And then I guess the Bible speaks of another version that would be wrong before or after marriage or any time, and that would be same-sex sex, all right? Women with women or men with men, all right? The Bible is very, very clear about that, of what God, of what His standard is. All right, so what are some excuses? Fornication. Well, you know, God, you know, God, Pastor, this is just, it's just so difficult. It's just so difficult to maintain purity, all right? Now, I do not forget what it's like to be single, all right? And I would definitely concur with Paul's opinion. It is better to marry than to burn, okay? All right, and so that is the ultimate answer for that. But have you ever thought about this, all right? God biologically makes young people to be sexually aware and their bodies start working at age 13, 14. You're not supposed to get married at 13, 14. Right? God wants you to learn how to control your sexual appetite before you get married. If you can't control it before marriage, you will not control it after marriage. It is not the cure. It isn't. Okay? And so people say, oh, you know, they say, we know everybody, you know, the whole world is flowing this way. All right? Well, the Bible is not a popularity contest. All right? It's about doing what is right. Okay? So there's no good reason to do the wrong thing. Okay? Well, I'll just do it and God will forgive me. Yeah, and you'll still have a sexually transmitted disease. You'll still have a baby. When you get forgiveness, the baby lives on. Yeah, for real. Now, you know what we see from the Word and that God will sanctify, help you raise that child. Amen. That's not God's plan. It stops a lot of God's plans from happening. Amen. Children were not meant to be raised in a single parent home. That wasn't His design. Now, I know some of you, somebody left or somebody died. All right. And God will give you the grace to do it. Amen. All right. But His plan is for there to be a mom and a dad. Well, adultery. Well, but my spouse. You see, there's nowhere There's nowhere in the Bible that says adultery is okay if your spouse. If your spouse. Well, you know, one of them can't have children, so I had to go do this. No, that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. Oh, they don't respect me. Well, there's a reason they don't. Well, they don't respect my mother. That's not a reason in the Bible for adultery. Well, my father was a polygamist. But you're not your father. Amen. There's no reason. No reason. So you've got to take your little list and throw it away today, folks. Every list. If you have some exceptions, if you have some clauses in your mind, believe you me, you're going to find them. They're going to come up one day. All right? Homosexuality. Well, you know, I have, somebody may say I have a same-sex attraction. All right? For some people, that is very real. Okay? And in my studies and understanding, there's not just one reason. And there really are people that don't necessarily just wake up at age 15 and say, things to do today. Go to Pick and Pay, become a homosexual. Okay? And so there's some stuff that's going on, all right? And there may be some reasons that led to that, all right? Well, but see, I feel that way. I feel that way. And if I feel that way, it must be right. Okay. Well, how many of you married people are in this room, all right? And so married people, do you feel attracted, sexually attracted to your spouse at all times? I won't raise a hand, but you can just say it, all right? Yeah. Do you feel that at all times? Married people, are there times where you feel something for someone else? Okay, those of you who are quiet, it's because you came with your spouse to church. Okay. And when you get in the parking lot, they're going to say, "Who is that?" All right. My son was 9 years old, 10 years old, something like that. He was a little guy. And we went to go see Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or something like that. So we're sitting in the movie and there's a preview. And the preview of the movie is like it's a shoot 'em up, but the woman who does the shoot 'em up, basically it seems as though she spends the whole movie in her underwear shooting people. And so you know, we get done and I'm thinking, oh God, I wish he didn't have to see that. My pure little boy, you know. And so he says, "Hey Dad, you're gonna see that?" And I said, no. And he said, "Why? You don't want to?" I said, "Well, no, that's the problem. I do want to." Right? "Well, but I have an attraction." Well, everyone has an attraction, right? Just because you have an attraction doesn't mean you give in to the attraction. Doesn't mean you yield to the attraction. You yield to the attraction to someone who gave you a ring. That's the only person. All right? And here, let me just say this. The world hates this message. They hate this message of sexual purity. They despise it. The church is under attack on almost every front when it comes to this. All right? And they don't like this. All right? But the fact of the matter is God has good reason. All right? Because he gave it as a gift for marriage. All right. Let's keep moving on. All right. Outbursts of wrath. All right. Now the Bible, funny enough, in Ephesians, it says, "Be angry. Don't yield to sin. Sin not." All right. So anger is not the problem. It's the outburst of anger. All right. So someone gets physically hurt. All right. Or something gets thrown, or there's damage. It's an outburst of wrath. All right. And Christians blame this on their personality.
I'm just strong-willed. I'm a leader.
Or they blame it on their nationality.
Oh, we Italians are just more hot-blooded, you know.
Well, but that's not an excuse, is it? Amen? All right. So outbursts of anger. It talks about hatred, contentions, jealousy. That's how we feel and how we deal with other people. I am amazed at how much hatred, contention, and jealousy is in the heart of Christians. All right? Arguably, it may be more than sexual immorality. Okay? Because Christians, oh, they justify this stuff. Contentions. Or did you see the way she looked at me? That person didn't even greet me. That is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is winnable. Hallelujah. Selfish ambitions. That means not all ambitions are heavenly ambitions. Heavenly ambitions. All right? So if God's called you into the business world, it should be a heavenly ambition. It should be to glorify Him. It should be to use your gift. It should be to build that company. It should be to serve customers. It should be to make a blessing. All right? A selfish ambition is when it's all about you. It's all about your success. Okay? And everything has to be blinged out because you have to show the world how successful you are. People did a study of some of the greatest leaders in the world. People that started Hewlett-Packard. Some of the great inventors of the world. They just lived in just regular houses. Drove regular cars. Sam Walton drove a red pickup truck. Kenneth E. Hagin, our mentor, drove an old orange 4x4. They don't need to prove to anybody that they're successful because they are successful. Amen. So you need to be real careful of why you have that Land Rover as a screensaver. For real. Okay? Now, you know, if you've got a car that's breaking down and it's hard and it's tough on your family, you know, and you're using the gifts of the Spirit just to get the cars started, you know. Discerning of spirits, gift of faith, all right. Then that it would be a godly ambition to say, you know what, Lord, we need a car that's going to be easier for our family. We need something that's safe, something that's going to be reliable, maybe something that's not always in the garage. All right? That's not a wrong ambition. Amen? And they make them in all colors. Might as well get a color you like. That's not a wrong ambition. All right? But if it is to drive by the house of your ex-girlfriend, oh, I didn't know you were in the neighborhood. Hello. That's a selfish ambition, all right? If you want to get to a certain job or a certain title or a certain degree of wealth, all right? And when we really, really look in your heart, what's it about? It's about you, all right? That is a work of the flesh, all right? That has to do with the deceitfulness of riches, all right? It'll choke out the word, all right? So many are desiring to be successful, not to glorify God, not because they have a mission and they want to do it well, but because they have personal insecurity and they want other people to applaud them. Look at you. You know what? You're acting like a 5-year-old. That's what our kids did when they were 5. You know, Timothy would dress up as Batman. He'd say,
I'm Batman. Oh, I'm Batman. Aren't you great, Batman? And you feel so good.
Grow up. 1 Timothy 6 says, those of you who are rich, use it to do good. To do good. Amen. And if you do have a shiny Land Rover, and God says, give it away, do it on the, don't wait, don't fast, don't wait for an angel to confirm it. Amen. Have a very loose grip on the things of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So nothing is the right reason to ignore God's standards. We cannot ignore God's standards. All right. There are other sins like this. There are other New Testament lists. Okay. But verse 22 tells us, remember it says the Holy Spirit, it gives us desires that are opposite. What are those opposite things that come out of our life? Okay. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, not in the life of a pastor, in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Can we see that fruit? Gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things. All right. So God also wants to define that is spirituality. That's what it looks like to have a life that is spirit-led, spirit-influenced. Amen? All right. And every believer has the right to live that way. Okay. And when you look at that list, boy, it makes your life much sweeter. All right. But it also makes the life of other people sweeter. All right. Faithfulness. Proverbs says that's one of the great keys to promotion. All right. And really, if we were going to, 2018, we shouldn't call it the year of promotion. We should call it the year of faithfulness. Then it will be the year of promotion. Well, I want the promotion. It doesn't come without faithfulness. Well, I thought it just happens. No, it never just happens. Amen? It's a stewardship of our lives. Gentleness, patience. Amen? So what do we do? What's another strategy that God gives us here in verse 24? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Tell your neighbor, nail it. Nail it. All right. So God gives me, he helps me to understand that this is not my maleness. This is not my Americanness. This is not my personality. There are no excuses for this. This doesn't please God. All right, I got it, God. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I think that way. All right, what are we going to do? We're going to nail it. Now, you could say legally, when we understand the New Testament, it's already happened. All right, our sinful nature. That's what water baptism is a sign of, that we died to the old life and then we rose again. Okay. And so we come up in newness of life. All right. So I consider myself dead to that. I don't make excuses for it. I no longer want to do it because I see the destructiveness in my life. But I say, God, you know what? Jesus, that was when Jesus died, I died to that. Romans says sin has no power over me. I see it as dead. Amen. How many of you know a dead dog can't hurt you? Because it's dead. Right? And so if it's dead, then I walk in victory. I walk in newness of life. All right? So we crucify those things. We consider ourselves dead since we are living by the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Many, many people want the Spirit's leading when it comes to who they're going to marry, where they're going to live, maybe what they're going to do. Now, you certainly should. All right. But here's the deal. If you are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead in every area of your life, you may just find out you just end up marrying the right person. You end up just living in the right place, doing the right thing. Because every step, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this step? Yeah, this step. What do you think about this step? Go left. Okay. Every area of our life. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in money? All right. Or do you allow advertising to lead you in money? Do you allow the duty-free shop in Dubai to lead you in money? Do you allow what your sister or your friend is wearing or bought to lead you in money? Because that's not the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to be like them. I want to be better than them. I got to be. There was a time during the 1950s where God was doing, a lot of people were doing evangelism all over the world. And everybody wanted to have the world's largest gospel tent. And they'd find out what this guy had and they'd buy it 1 meter bigger. World's largest gospel tent. Another guy, his was a little bit small, so he put out the flaps. Now, he's got the world's largest gospel tent. That's called selfish ambition. And funny enough, none of them merely ministered more than 10 years. They all kind of crashed and burned because their heart wasn't right. Amen. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading all the time in every aspect of life. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. How many know this is like a big deal, isn't it? This is where the rubber hits the road. And you're saying, Pastor, let's go talk about the inheritance. Let's talk about being children of God. We just did. That's what a child of God looks like. That's the strategy that a child of God brings to the normal daily life. Amen. Now, today, I really wish I could give you a zap. I wish I could just whoosh. But here's the thing. You know how you learn to do this? You just do it. And the more you follow the Holy Spirit's leading, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes. Some of you, the first time you gave your money away, you know, you thought you were removing your arm or something, you know. But there's other of you in this room, you can give your money away and it's just free and joyful and awesome. Why? Because you've been yielding for a long time. It just feels right. It's just what I do. Holy Spirit has His way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. Father, this life that You've called us to, the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, this life that You've led us away from, the works of the flesh, Lord, we live in a body that sometimes makes these opposite. But Lord, we also live in a world that so many times gets these as opposite. And so, Father, thank You today. Thank You so much that we have clarity, that we can see and think Your thoughts and Your ways. Father, right now, I pray that You help each and every one of us in this room to repent where perhaps we have made excuses, where we have come up with our own list of reasons why this doesn't apply to us. Father, maybe where, Lord, sometimes maybe some in this room, Father, they feel like they've been fighting but losing. And they just wonder, is it worth it? Father, I thank You right now that for each of us, wherever we are and whatever we're dealing with, the stuff You said in Your word, the sin that so easily besets us, Father, we thank You that with every temptation, there's a way out. There's a way out. You made a way of escape. Father, help us to discover those ways, to yield to your Holy Spirit. Father, we want our life to be fruitful. We want it to be sweet for our family, for our church, wherever you place us, whatever we're doing. Father, we thank you for Spirit-controlled, Spirit-empowered lives. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you to deal with us right now. Deal with us. Father, I know you've shown me a few things just in looking at these scriptures. Stop excusing. Stop saying, oh well, to go nail it and crucify it. Father, help us. We love you today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, God's dealing with Christians, I believe, right now. You're in this room. See, the life that God has called every person on planet Earth to is a life of freedom, a life that is under the control and the power of God. Now, how does that happen? You have to say yes to Jesus Christ. And I can't do that for you. A pastor, a reverend, a priest can't do that. There's not anything we can say over your life. When you die, we certainly can't do it. But you, while you're living, while you have breath, you have the opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never done that, today is your day. Today is your day to say yes, to be a child of God, to let all your past be forgiven and your future completely redeemed. If you're a backslider and you're far from God, come home today. Receive forgiveness. Receive restoration. God loves you and he cares for you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know Jesus. I'm not a believer. Or I'm a Christian, but I've really left, gone down the wrong path. But I realize today is my day to come home. I want to pray with you so that we can pray together. Just lift up your hand real, real high. Just wave it at me. Say, that's me. God bless you in the back. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Say, that's me. I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. I'm saying yes to his future. Who else would say yes? Thank you over here. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you there in the back. Thank you, sir. Well, I can, from my perspective, this can be the greatest day of your life. This can be the day when everything changes. Anyone else before we pray? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Over here, thank you. All right. Can we all stand? Let's all stand to our feet. Oh, he's so good and he loves us so much. You lifted up your hand, you say, that's me. I'd ask you, just grab your Bible, or if you brought a handbag or something to church with you, whatever you brought, just grab it and then just come up and meet me up front. We want to pray together. And it's just a great sign to say, you know, I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out of my old life and I'm making a step for Jesus Christ. So just come. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming over here. All the way in the back. So glad you're saying yes today. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? A couple more hands. Sometimes we think this, what are people going to think? Here's what we think at Miracle Life. You are awesome. You are smart. You're fantastic. That's what we think when you make this decision. Anybody else before we pray? All right. Now, if I was going to give you that, right, you just reach out. You just reach out and receive it, okay? We're going to receive from God his wonderful gifts and his love today. So just reach out one of your hands towards heaven and say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He was punished for my sins. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I leave sin. I leave the wrong stuff. And I follow you now. For the rest of my life, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. In your name I pray.